Last week's to be a practical atheist, and last week really focusing on worry and fear. And I told you, don't fear, and today I'm going to preach from the chapter that probably brings more fear than anything else in the Bible. But would you stand with me as we read from Revelation chapter 13? Starting in verse 11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who is understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You may be seated. This morning I want to take up a topic that has reared its head once again, the mark of the beast. My entire lifetime, every time some new technology appears, I hear this is the mark of the beast. Barcodes, the internet, the banking system, implanted computer chips, and now, of course, the latest is the vaccine for COVID-19. Somehow, each one of them, somebody thinks that this is the mark of the beast, and the Antichrist is right around the corner. Now, given the serious nature of the mark of the beast and the strong language the Bible gives in relation to the mark, it's understandable why people would be concerned about it. Listen to Revelation 14, 9 and 10. And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Yikes. Revelation 19, 20. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. I don't know about you, but I want to avoid the mark of the beast. Amen. It's frightening stuff for sure. It's really important that you and I do not receive the mark of the beast. That's obvious. For those who refuse the mark of the beast, life will certainly be dreadful here on earth. The Bible says that those that refuse the mark of the beast will not be able to buy or sell, and at least some will be beheaded. There's no shortage of theories about the mark. Again, everything from tattooed bar codes on our foreheads or hands, to the banking system, to implanted computer chips, to the internet, to, again, the COVID-19 vaccine have been suggested and promoted as a possible mark of the beast. Others have tried to associate the mark with the name of different men, such as Nero, Hitler, the Pope, George Bush, Obama, and I'm sure President Trump. Some have even speculated that President Trump is the Antichrist because he's brokered peace deals in the Middle East. But rather than go on dubious sources posted to our Facebook timeline, I think we should probably go and look at what the Bible has to say about marks and seals to understand the significance and meaning of the mark. Having said all that as an introduction, Let me give you some personal interpretation on my views of the end time and the tribulation based on my study of Scripture. And remember, I said personal interpretation. How many of us do you understand that anybody that talks about that, you know, future prophecy, it's all best educated guesses. We're all waiting to see how God has intended for things to work out, because that's the way it's going to work out. It's going to work out in His plan. Now, I'm under the conviction that the overwhelming majority of people are going to be surprised by how Scripture is fulfilled in the last days. We've grown up with an interpretation that I believe is more about science fiction than actual good interpretation of Scripture. The common view of the last days is one of absolute doom and destruction, where Christians have mysteriously disappeared in the rapture, and the demonic Antichrist he's been given complete control over the entire planet, leaving the world in chaos. The picture we are often given is one where people are living in hiding, and they're doing this to avoid being rounded up in the concentration camps and beheaded at the guillotines. It makes for a good movie. It makes for some good fire and brimstone preaching where people shake in their boots. But I'm not sure it really all quite lines up with Scripture. As I preached last spring, much to some people's surprise, I do not hold to the popular view of the left behind type rapture, where Christians will disappear in an instant and planes will fall from the sky and cars will suddenly crash because they have no one driving them. A simple and straightforward reading of Scripture tells us that the event commonly known as the rapture happens after the dead in Christ arise. Now, there's only one point in time when this occurs, when the dead in Christ arise, and that is when Jesus returns at the second coming. The Greek tells us we will be gathered together in the glory of God with Yeshua, with Jesus. But He will be on earth at that point in time, not in heaven. And so my personal view of the tribulation in many ways is smaller and much more focused in scale than most. The Bible, depending on how you count, indicates the Antichrist will only control 10 or 11 nations, all centered in the Middle East and Northern Africa. That's a far cry from global dominance, when there are currently 195 nations. As Americans, when we think of the last days and the tribulation and the Antichrist, what do we picture? We always picture America. How many of you understand America is not the center of Scripture? Israel is. Israel's the center of it all. And the specific nations that the Bible lists that the Antichrist will rule all surround her. That's where it's all going to be going on, in my opinion. I don't have time to go over it all today, but let me offer one scripture as to why I really believe so many people are going to be caught off guard in the tribulation, so much so that many people will not even recognize it. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Again, I don't find the big disappearing trick of the rapture happening, and I'm not trying to offend anybody that believes in the common view of the rapture by saying it's a disappearing trick. But again, right up to the very end, people are going about their lives. It's almost like life is normal in many ways. Will there be terrible and fearful things that happen in the last days in the tribulation? Yes, of course. Will the entire planet be under stress? Yes, of course. How many of you know that the entire planet is under stress right now? And yet people will be going about their lives, eating and drinking and marrying right up until Yeshua returns. More on that in a few minutes. Back to the mark. Now, the idea of putting a mark or a seal on the forehead or on the hand did not originate with Satan and the mark of the beast. This is very important to understand. We're going to have an inkling of what the mark really looks like. Satan, how many of you understand, is the great imitator. He wanted to be like God. I will be like God is what he said. I will ascend to the mount of the Most High. I'm going to be like him. And so everything he does in one way or another, it's some distorted imitation of what God does. We read from the book of Revelation earlier when it spoke of the mark of the beast. But there are many, many other instances in the Bible that talk about a seal or a mark being placed on people. If you would, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 9. This point in Israel's history, she had fallen into deep, deep idol worship. And she was in such a deep state of sin that God's judgment was about to fall on her. And so God, he gives Ezekiel a vision, and he's showing him things in the spiritual realm. And this is what Ezekiel records. Verse 3. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub on which it rested to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing case at his waist. There were six spiritual beings, angels, that were getting ready to go through the city of Jerusalem and kill people. And before God releases them, he says to another angel, this angel or man, as it records, with a writing instrument. And he calls to him and he says, and the Lord said to him, pass through the city, through Jerusalem, and mark a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in it. So again, the Lord is about to execute judgment. His judgment is going to fall on Jerusalem and Israel for her idolatry. But before he unleashes judgment, he sends in this angel to mark the foreheads of those who mourn over Israel's sin. Obviously, this would have been the righteous in the city. They would have been the ones that remained faithful to God. But the significant portion I want to focus on here is where the Lord says, mark the foreheads. Again, note that it's a spiritual mark done here in a vision. It's not a physical mark. It's a spiritual mark. In Hebrew, the wording would say tava tav, or literally mark a mark or mark a tav. It's the only instance in the entire Bible that this tav is used in the Hebrew. And that's because tav is not a word, it's a letter. In ancient times, the tav looked like a cross. There were two forms of the tav. Each was a cross. One was an X. The kind of cross that history records that the Apostle Peter was crucified on. And the other is the one that we're more familiar with, a T-shaped cross that the Lord was crucified on. Now it's interesting because in modern Hebrew, the tav is written like a doorway. And what should we think of when we think of the cross, when we think of the blood of the Lamb? We think of the doorways, the doors of the house of the Israelites in Egypt where the blood was applied. And so all three forms of the tav that was to be marked on the foreheads of the righteous should remind us of the blood of the Lamb. Again, the cross-shaped tavs remind us of the sacrifice of the cross. The X-shaped cross, or X-shaped tav, while also the form of a cross, was also the manner in which the Israelites were supposed to have applied the blood to the doorpost of their homes in Egypt in an X fashion. The mark that the Lord said to put on the foreheads of the saved was first a spiritual mark, and secondly was connected to the Lamb of God and his sacrifice. In the 13th chapter of Exodus, we find the Lord telling Israel to remember the Passover, the day when the death angel passed over those who had the blood applied to the doorpost of the house. Exodus 13:8-10. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute as its appointed time from year to year. In this passage, we again see the symbolism of a spiritual sign on the forehead and on the hand of those who love God in connection to the Passover and the Passover lamb, the shedding of blood, the covering of the doorpost, and the foreshadowing of the Messiah's sacrifice. The word here that's translated as reminder or memorial literally means a fence, something that can be seen as a defense. It's a sign of protection, and in this case, a protection against judgment. It's a seal. Do you start to get the idea of what the seal of God is here, the mark of God is on us? It's the blood of the Lamb. It's spiritual. It's the love of God's laws, remembering from, we do it the first Sunday of every month, taking communion. We remember the sacrifice, the Passover. We remember the crucifixion, what God did for us. And the Lord said it's going to be like a sign for you. Seal or mark of God is also an obedience to and love of the Lord, a repentance of sin. Deuteronomy 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. What's being spoken of here? Our love for the Lord and obedience to his statutes and commandments. Moses then says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. For this reason, Jews today even wear what is known as telephon and put little boxes that they put on their hands and on their foreheads, and they contain little scrolls of scripture. They take it very, very literally, this command. And I've talked about it before. How many of you have ever seen an Orthodox Jew? They're easy to pick out in a crowd. They want to be known as someone they want to be marked for God. And while it's taken literally, and there certainly is literal aspects of the blood of the Lamb. Think back to Egypt again and the application of the blood on the doorpost of the homes of the Israelites. Do you understand that the mark of God, the seal of God, is primarily spiritual? John 3:33. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. Amen. What is John referring to? Well, what verse came earlier in the third chapter of the book of John? For God so loved the world. You see, It's where the most famous verse of all comes from. John is speaking of the testimony of the Messiah, our belief in Messiah. In other words, belief in Jesus. This is how we set our seal, how we're marked is because of our testimony that the Lord is the Lord and that he is our Savior. He who believes the testimony about Messiah and the Lord's sacrifice for us, believes upon him for salvation and is sealed by his belief and the reception of God's mercy. And so the Holy Spirit of God also acts as a seal that we are Christ. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so again, there is some physical application from time to time, but overwhelmingly in Scripture, we see that the seal or the mark of God is a spiritual one. And because of this, we should clearly be able to see what Satan is trying to imitate. His mark is a false religion and an allegiance to that religion's laws and commandments, which marks its followers. When we read of the mark of beast in Revelation, the mark of the beast in Revelation 13, we often fail to remember that it isn't even the first time a seal or mark is mentioned in Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea. You see, the picture here we're supposed to get is God's judgments coming to the earth. The angels are holding back the winds and the destruction. And another angel comes and he cries, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." See, it's the same picture again that we see in Ezekiel's day. Judgment is coming. Judgment, hold on just a moment. The people of God, the righteous, are going to be sealed. Here's the good news. Because a lot of people worry about somehow condemning themselves to hell by unknowingly taking the mark of the beast. You don't have to worry about getting tricked into taking the mark of the beast. You're not going to get a COVID-19 vaccination shot and suddenly be condemned to hell because, whoops, you took the mark of the beast. God doesn't work that way. Do you understand that? That's not the way the Lord works. You can't unwittingly condemn yourself to hell by unknowingly taking the mark of the beast any more than you can unintentionally receive the seal of the Lamb. Everybody with me? Salvation is a choice. You choose life in Messiah. Amen? In the same way, you choose damnation and the mark of the beast. How does it work? If I haven't made it clear enough, the seal and the mark are spiritual, not physical. Again, there may be, in fact, some application in the physical realm, but that is not its primary domain. Salvation, again, comes as a choice, a conscious decision to accept Yeshua Jesus as Lord and Savior. You then repent of your sins and you learn to love the Lord with all your heart. And you receive the spiritual seal of the Holy Spirit. You don't get saved by accident, folks. In the same manner, we choose the mark of the beast by choosing to follow the religion of the beast. Now, before I move on, I want to make a statement. I believe history is ripe for the tribulation and the second coming of the Lord. As I interpret Scripture, and again, my personal interpretation, the timing is correct in just a few short years, a decade or so as I reckon it. The conditions I see being set up are perfect for how I interpret Scripture for some time now. That doesn't mean I'm right. As I'm quick to remind people, the interpretation of prophecy and world events, they're far more often wrong than they are right. One way or another, most people are going to be wrong in their beliefs and predictions about the tribulation and the second coming. As I also like to remind people, it was only a couple of guys from Persia that understood the signs and the scriptures and the times about the Lord's first advent. I'm not sure why we think in our day and age that we can do any better. All the Jewish sages, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they got it wrong. And they were the guys that were supposed to know. So don't put too much stock in all those books on prophecy you have on your coffee table or what you hear on the internet, maybe even what you hear from me. Again, it's all going to happen the way that God has intended that it will happen. We have to wait and see what will come. We're all giving our best educated guesses. But the important thing is that we must be prepared to meet the Lord at any given moment. How do you prepare to be ready to meet the Lord? Be sure of your salvation in Him. We have to be prepared to endure whatever may come and keep the faith. That is far more important than having the correct interpretation of end-time prophecy. Be ready and prepared to suffer for the faith. I'm sure some of the things I've said today bring a host of questions. How will the world go on and with all the terrible plagues that God sends on the world without recognizing we're in the tribulation? Matthew 24 again. For as it was in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. We're all far too aware we're living through a global pandemic right now. And you know what people are doing? They're still living life as best they can. The world saw a much worse pandemic last century. And people did the best they can and they went on with life. History has recorded far, far worse than that. And you know what people did? They went on eating and drinking and marrying and making plans for the future. Just like they did in the days of Noah. I had two kids get married this last year. People are making plans for the future and moving forward with life just like they did in the days of Noah. This took place in even times of world wars. Many people thought it was the end during World War I and then World War II. Surely this is the end of the world. And yet, people continued to live, moving forward with their lives, getting married, eating and drinking, just like they did in Noah's day. Life will be tough for sure during the tribulation. It'll be a time like the world has never known. You think COVID-19 is stressful? Just wait. Just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. But people will live life even in those difficult times. Next, if there isn't a physical mark, if my feelings, my interpretation is correct, if there's not a physical mark, if it's only spiritual, how will the Antichrist keep people who refuse the mark from buying or selling? Now, while I believe the Antichrist will have a much more limited authority over the earth than most people do, I do, however, believe that the spirit of the Antichrist is at work globally even right now. Right. What do we see happening in our country? We see something taking place that most of us thought was unimaginable. People are calling for anyone who worked for or even supported President Trump to be fired from their jobs and blacklisted. If no one will do business with you, how can you buy or sell? Companies are refusing to do business with people based on their political or religious beliefs. Parler can't buy space on computer services to host their social media site on because of the views of those who have used it. I also suspect it's a little bit about getting rid of the competition. But people are losing their jobs because of political or religious views shared on Facebook or Instagram, and many will likely never be able to work in their chosen field again. You see, it doesn't take a physical mark or some computer chip to limit people's ability to buy or sell. It's happening all around us right now and around the world. I recently heard the story of a Christian man in the Middle East who owned a store. Once word spread that he had converted to Christianity, no Muslim would go into his store to do business with him any longer. His suppliers stopped selling to him. People stopped buying from his store. He could not buy or sell because he had taken the seal instead of the mark. He was faced with a decision, a choice. Convert to Islam, or he and his family would possibly go hungry, face homelessness, possibly even death. After many, many months of struggling, he gave in and converted to Islam. It was a choice. He made a choice. The wrong choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. You must be sealed with the Holy Spirit, marked by your love for God and His commandments, or take the mark of the beast. And that's really what I want to leave you with. You have a choice. We all have a choice. Everyone here in this room, everyone listening on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or I don't know how many places we're on now. Everybody out in the street or in their home, everybody working today. Everybody has a choice. Choice to love the Lord. Receive salvation through His blood. Obey His commandments. Love His law or reject Him. And you see, based on this and this alone, you will be marked as righteous. By this alone, you will be sealed for salvation by the Holy Spirit of God. By this alone can you be assured of your eternal fate. By this alone will you be able to survive judgment day when the wrath of God Almighty comes. We are saved and sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Or you can continue on in your sins, and you will be judged with the Antichrist and the beast. It's your choice, your decision. You must decide. So I encourage you, choose this day whom you will serve. What signature you bear? The seal of God or the mark of the beast? I encourage you all to choose well, so that when God's judgment comes, the death angel will pass over as he sees the seal of the blood of the Lamb applied to your hand, to your forehead, to the doorpost of your heart. Amen. Stand with me as we close.